The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Does that cool little podcast?
He does with you.
The not so
Hi, Daryl.
Cool. Yeah. Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello.
We couldn't be finer. Thank you very much.
Daryl, you must be in the confines of your home. Where are you?
I just walked off the practice field, so give me a second to thaw out.
Okay.
He is at his home.
Yeah, your second home. Normally, yeah. I love when you're in the press. When you're in the press room, you're like, "Hello, guys, what's going on?"
He has to.
It's a little chilly out there today. I'm not gonna lie.
I bet. So, Daryl, you know we've all been at this long enough to know for a fact that you can't say some guy can't develop and become something that you might not always think that he could become. In other words, you know, go from like Jose Ramirez. You know, everybody kind of thought he was going to be a utility ball player, and instead he becomes an outstanding ball player. So you can't say that DTR can't become a starting quarterback in the NFL. How likely is it that you think DTR has the skills where he might be able to show some things in these final three games and put himself in the conversation to be the starter next year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be in the conversation to be the starter next year, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's kind of why I asked Ken Dorsey this morning just about his evolution and understanding and grasping how to execute this offense. Dorsey mentioned that, hey, you know, with DTR out there, he can go in the bag a little deeper because of the dual threat possibility. But as he put it, they have to be smart about it and, you know, make sure that DTR protects himself. I think that it would be, even though Kevin Stefanski won't say that he's starting the final three games and this is like a week-to-week thing, like, there is nothing served by having this kid on a short leash. Like, just have him play the next 3 weeks. To your point, Jeff, get a somewhat extended look at him and see what he can do. Like, I know what I think he's going to do, but, you know, let's see it. Let's see if he can put himself in a position to where he's in the conversation to be the legit number two quarterback next year. Or, do you decide, okay, he's a, you know, fifth round pick and we can trade him for something or whatever. But these next 3 weeks are very, very important to DTR. And if you listened to him yesterday, you could hear that in his voice.
What is he going to do, Daryl? You said you think you know what he can do. What's he going
to
do?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be fair to him. So I just think that I'll say this, Andy. I don't think that there's any mystery from the Browns as far as like what they expect to see. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's been here for 2 years. They've had him in meetings. They've had him, you know, they've seen him do prep work for games and things like that, right? They've seen him on the practice field, saw him in the preseason. Dorsey certainly, you know, in a very positive way, pointed to how well DTR played in the preseason, how well the offense operated and moved with him on the field in the preseason. My argument to that would be, you know, it's the preseason, right? So you kind of take some of that with a grain of salt. It's not the regular season, and that's a completely different animal. So, it'll be interesting to see if he is able to exceed expectations. But I don't think that the Browns have many questions about what his ceiling is as a quarterback, if that makes sense.
Daryl, Andy and I kicked around early on in the show about guys that you think – must be back on this team next year. And we know at quarterback, Deshaun's contract situation makes it very difficult to imagine him not being here. But we thought you really don't have to have any of these quarterbacks back next year. Do you think that's accurate?
I can imagine a scenario where Deshaun's not here next year.
Okay.
He's getting paid. He's on the 53-man roster, but he just doesn't practice and play. Like that's very easy for me to imagine.
Okay.
But as far as to your question, Jeff, about do any of these, no, they don't. Here's how I would approach the offseason if I'm the Browns. I would sit Kevin Stefanski down, and say, you tell us what quarterback you want, and we will go get them within reason. Like, we're not going to, you know, mortgage the future of the franchise to bring somebody in
again
to be a stopgap.
Yeah,
but
again,
right? But like, you know, you like, for instance, Kirk Cousins. If the Falcons make him available, mm-hmm. and they basically eat that contract, right? And they eat the cap space, and so you can take advantage of that situation. He's what, 37, 38 years old?
Yep, he'd be 37 next year.
A lot of picks. Yeah, so. Like, I don't know, maybe you take a flyer on that guy and throw something on the wall and see if it can stick for a year or two or whatever, right? But that's what I would do. I would empower Kevin Stefanski to be the driving force on picking who his quarterback is next year. Because let's be honest about it, he's never gotten his quarterback here.
True.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, think about that. I don't, you know, with all due respect to Baker, I wouldn't say that Baker Mayfield is Kevin Stefanski's prototypical quarterback for his offensive system. I wouldn't say Deshaun Watson is the prototypical quarterback for Kevin Stefanski's system. So, like, all right, I think Joe Flacco, and it showed, like, I think Joe Flacco is the perfect prototype as far as, like, I'm talking from physical traits. Like, I realize he's at the end of his career, okay? But, like, I'm just talking, like, physical traits, how he plays the game, how he operates, how he thinks, all those type of things. Like, I think Joe Flacco is the closest thing that Kevin Stefanski has had to the type of quarterback that he would choose. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
So, like, that's how I would handle this offseason. I'm like, Kevin, here's the list of the available quarterbacks here. You tell us what dude you want. You know, you go through the film. You see who you think fits you the best, and that's the guy we're going to give you. Because I just don't think that he's had that since he's been the head coach here.
I think that's a really interesting thought. Well, let me follow up the quarterback thing with the running back thought, because Andy and I did the same thing at running back, and we differed on our opinion there. I don't think you have to have any of these running backs next year. Andy thought Nick Chubb because he's Nick Chubb, and maybe Jerome.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you got to bring back. I think Chubb and Ford. Ford has shown me enough. I mean, just look at that run he had on Sunday.
Right.
That's not a flash in the pan thing. We've seen that from Jerome. We've seen those flashes from him. So, I'd bring those two guys back, 100%. I don't know that I would say have to have, but I would definitely bring Ford and Chubb back.
Daryl, I know we talked a little bit about this on the podcast, just where are we on the dome right now? What's going on? You know, the governor was in town last week, and can you kind of get us up to speed on where we are with this stuff?
Yeah, the politicians are trying to get things, you know, straightened out right now as far as what the things will look like from a state contribution standpoint. Remember, the Bengals have a $1.2 billion project down in Hamilton County there that they want to have included, because their thing is, hey, if the Browns are going to get state money, we should get state money too. You know, it just still feels like things are a bit of a stalemate with the county. I have a suspicion of how I think this thing all ends, with the Browns ending up in Brook Park and getting their dome. And you can listen to the podcast for those thoughts. But right now, everybody is, we call it a shameless shilling, Jeffrey. The politicians are kind of trying to get things squared away, you know, behind the scenes and get everyone, you know, on the same page. I don't want to say that the governor was trying to mediate between, Brown's ownership and, but it is a frustration, for the folks in Columbus that people are not on the same page, with, this project. And so it complicates their ability to help out. You know what I mean? So, it's about getting everyone on the same page, whether it's with Brook Park or staying on the lakefront. Obviously the Browns are full steam ahead right now with the Brook Park project. And then of course we've got this, you know, lawsuit that's in federal court, you know, seeking the clarification on the Modell law. And, the spirit of that law was to keep franchises in the respective markets, and the Browns are not leaving the market. I kind of feel like the city of Cleveland is trying to stretch that and stretch the vagueness of that law a little bit by threatening to enforce it and basically trying to get some money out of the Browns as, you know, as a going away parting gift or whatever, when, at least from my view, I'm not a lawyer, but just my take on the situation is I think come 2029, the Browns have no obligation to the city of Cleveland whatsoever.
Forgive me if you think this is too obvious of a question. Do you think the Browns have any desire, need to see Bailey Zappe play quarterback?
I don't know. And the reason I say that, because I kind of felt like Kevin had an opportunity to just say, hey, because he did this with Jameis, right? When Jameis took over, he's like, yeah, you know, things can change, but the thought is for Jameis to start the rest of the year. Yeah. He's QB1 going forward, right? He didn't do that with DTR. And that's why I mentioned earlier, Jeff, about like the short leash. Like, I don't feel DTR should be on a short leash. But, I mean, hey, could I see Bailey Zappe starting week 18 in Baltimore? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know what you're going to glean from that, but...
If you're looking for a young guy maybe to be your backup next year, I don't know that DTR is head and shoulders above Bailey Zappe, and maybe you would play him a game and see what you get. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's I did kind of find that curious with Kevin, and I get it. You know, Kevin's usually very reserved when he's answering questions, and he doesn't like to do a lot of big picture stuff, but you did it with Jameis earlier this year, and I thought he had an opportunity to say, yeah, our intention is to have, you know, DTR start these final three games and see what this kid can do. And Kevin was unwilling to go down that road. So
yeah.
I would have to guess that, yeah, maybe the door is actually open for us to see Bailey Zappe. And guess what, Jeff? If he does get the start, he'd be number 40.
Oh, my. I wonder, would you go back to Jameis or play Bailey? I think, you know, you might learn more if you play Bailey. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Daryl, at what point do you say to yourself, hey, maybe we've seen enough of Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward this year? I know everyone wants to get Myles to 100 sacks. He just needs a half a sack. So at what point do you think they turn and say, you know what, okay, we've seen enough?
I don't – maybe week 18, but you got a chance to wreck the Bengals season on Sunday. The Dolphins game is very winnable. Miami, you know, they're the frozen fish when they come north. they do not play well in sub 40 degree temperatures. A quick look at the forecast, it's going to be below 40 degrees. So, frozen fish. You know, I'm not in favor of the, hey, let's sit guys out type of a thing. Even when you're not playing for anything, they're competitors, but you know, And I feel like you're kind of living in your fears a little bit there, if that's, you know, what you think or how you're thinking. And,
I mean, it's how we do the preseason every year, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know, but it's a little different, though. Yeah, these are regular season games. They count. And hey,
you're paid to play.
Well, you're paid to play, and also, too, there's, you know, Miles needs to I meant to do this, and it slipped my mind. There's something to do with if he gets the 14 sacks this season.
Mm-hmm.
He makes some pretty significant history if he can get to 14 sacks this season.
Okay.
So if he gets the 14 sacks, then okay, you know, whatever. But that's a significant milestone. Like, he becomes like one of like three or four guys since they started tracking that stat to like have 14 sacks in X amount of consecutive seasons. So that's the number.
That's why he wants to be out there,
yeah. He's three sacks away from that. So, but I'm all about just, you know, these guys are competitors. Let them play. But I get folks living in their fears and worrying about 2025.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet, guys.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl mentioned KC.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And he wasn't talking Kansas City or the Sunshine Band. What do you think? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Cousins and Kevin Stefanski, of course, were together in Minnesota. And he actually, Cousins had a really good year with Kevin Stefanski as his offensive coordinator for that one season. Vikings went 10-5, and Cousins threw 26 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he had both Achilles clearly intact. This year, his Achilles is repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not played up to his normal expectations. He's been benched in Atlanta. We all know what that situation is. Would you want Kirk Cousins, Andy? Or someone like Kirk Cousins?
Is he an upgrade over Jameis Winston? Yes. Not by a ton. I'm looking at some of the numbers here. Just
he's thrown
numbers.
9 interceptions in the last 5 games, and Jameis has thrown 9 in the last 4. So I guess that spreads it out one more game.
Yeah, I'm kind of just bouncing back on their career numbers too, and the significant difference is, you know, in his career, Kirk Cousins' win loss ratio is way better than Jameis's.
He's been on better teams.
83-74-2 is his quarterback rating, and then Jameis Winston's 36-51-0. But their completion percentage isn't too far off. Jameis is like 61-62. It's almost 62% completion rate, where Cousins is a little bit under 70. It's a little bit under 66.
But the Jameis issue is interceptions, and Kirk Cousins is much better with his interception rate than Jameis.
So Kirk Cousins has
2.2 career interception rate.
126 on his career, and Jameis is 111, but he's played significantly less.
Right. So look to the column to the right. 2.2 is the interception rate for Cousins.
I think we're on a different website.
Jameis is like 3.8 or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, more. Smart
people we know.
Is he better? Yeah, but not that much. I mean,
no, I think he was a lot better. I don't know if he is now. He's a different looking guy. He doesn't move real well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been one of the issues in Atlanta, and he's been benched for a rookie with a team in a playoff race. That's telling.
Yeah, that's true. Although, yeah, it hasn't been a successful season. But
Kirk Cousins throughout his career, the best way to kind of describe Kirk Cousins is if you wanted to teach someone to play quarterback, you would put on Kirk Cousins tape, and you would say, this is how you play quarterback. Kirk Cousins is really good if he's within a structure that he can easily, you know, that he can go out and go, okay, there's my first option, second option, third option, goodbye. If things crumble around Kirk Cousins crumbles. Like, that's kind of the best way to describe him. if the line is a little hairy, Kirk Cousins can't really cover it up that well. If he's got wide receiver injuries, Kirk Cousins isn't going to make those guys look a whole lot better. But if everything around him is in good shape, Kirk Cousins looks really good.
Guy who we have had on the show numerous times over the years, big-time senior reporter for Yahoo Sports covering the National Football League, friend of the Menigan, Charles Robinson.
Friend of the Menigan?
Wrote a story yesterday.
Poor soul.
Yeah. It says, quarterback room, headline, Kirk Cousins is the Cleveland Browns' best bridge out of the Deshaun Watson era.
See the fiscal layout of how this happens?
If by chance Atlanta pulls a Denver, as Denver did with Russell Wilson,
right,
and all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is available for next to nothing, Kirk Cousins would be the perfect guy. Because you could bring him in, you could tell Deshaun, thank you, stay home. We're going to pay you because we don't have a choice.
Right.
You wouldn't get killed on the cap because you cut him or anything like that.
True.
And then you could find a young quarterback and develop him. If it's DTR, if it's Bailey Zappi, if it's somebody you draft, if it's Trey Lance, if it's Kyle Trask, if it's Zach Wilson, and you could bring that person in. I think depending on how Atlanta discards Kirk Cousins, he could be a really good option here. If they think he can still play, and if Kevin Stefanski, I mean, Daryl's right.
Do you think they're trying to trade him to us, or yeah, they'd have to, right? Or cut him?
They could cut him, but they, and it wouldn't be as punitive as it was for Denver, because he has a lot less money owed to him than Russell Wilson did in Denver.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, let's just say they cut him, and Kirk likes Kevin, and Kevin likes Kirk, and they think we need each other for a year or three tops. He'd be perfect. If they thought he could still play. And unfortunately, there's the catch to the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
If they think he can still play. Frank is in the beautiful city of Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
What's up, fellas?
How are you, sir?
Hey, man, let's end this circus, man. Please, no Kirk Cousins, man. Just let the man pick him a 6'4" or better quarterback that's mobile, that he can control, man, because we already see, like they said, Brissett, Flacco, them is type of quarterbacks he needs, man. He can't. That's what he needs. Let him pick his quarterback. So if he can't get him together, then we end this circus, man. I really want Andrew Barry to lose his job because I done went through his picks, and I mean he ain't had a lot of first rounds than the ones he did. He gave him away. I'm just tired of the circus, fellas. Let this man pick him a quarterback, and we see where we go from there, man. Don't do the Kirk Cousins. It's Achilles,
but Frank, what if Kevin picked Kirk Cousins?
What, ask for him?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm firing him. I'm gonna come down there firing.
Frank, let me ask you really quick, Frank, would you be good with Drew Aller?
He's not coming out.
I'm saying next year, if you want to hang on another year and just
wait. Yeah, because he's going to be right there when you pick.
No, can you stop, Jeff? I'm just asking a question. He's 6'5".
I don't know, man. He iffy, though. And, but, you know, and Stefanski might can make him look good.
Yeah.
I've been arguing with dudes saying Stefanski can probably make Sam Darnold bum butt look good.
Frank.
Like Kevin O'Connell is in Minnesota, Frank.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, man, we need somebody that can get away from, because our offensive line getting weak. We need somebody that can get away from the ball when he come from up under center, if need be. But he got to be big and competent, man. Let Stefanski pick his quarterback, man.
Let Stefanski
pick his quarterback. All right, y'all have a good one, man.
I'll buy that. Thanks, Frank.
Happy holidays to you, Frank.
Let
Stefanski pick his quarterback. Unless it's Kirk Cousins, and then I'm going to fire him.
A lot of leeway there.
There sure is. As long as it's not a guy I don't like, pick your quarterback. I just think it's a situation that's worth monitoring if you're the Browns. And I have no idea how their relationship was. I do know in that one year, it was 2019 when Kevin was the offensive coordinator, but Cousins was a 31-year-old quarterback. And they worked together previously, you know, as well. But Kevin was the coordinator in 2019 and Pro Bowl for Kirk Cousins. So that's a pretty good deal, actually. Jim is in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Jim,
got about a minute, buddy.
Happy.
All right, guys. Hey, like we've said in the past, and I just think we're getting out ahead of our skis here. We're making the assumption that Kevin's back. We're making the assumption that Andrew Berry's back. Look, I think the two biggest questions before we even start talking about next season is, what's Jimmy Haslam going to do with these two guys? I get that all the beat reporters and everybody says, as far as they think, that it sounds like he's bringing them all back. I just don't know how you sell to your fan base after 5 years with these two guys. I don't care. I would keep Stefanski. But I don't know, after 5 years, you can go to your fan base and say, you know what, we're going to stand pat and go into next year that way. I just don't see how you sell it. I think you have a fan base that's already very leery of this group. And I just think that if you stand pat, the enthusiasm going into next year will be dead before it even gets started.
I'm going to throw this at you. They came back this season, stand pat.
I agree. And that we thought we were going to take a step. Look, here's the bottom line. If you're not moving forward, it's the same thing in business. If you're not moving forward, you're dying. You're moving backwards. You've got to constantly be building towards something. If we go into next year with this same group, what are we building towards? What are we building towards? What do we have to look forward to? Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the look for growth? Where is any of that? And I trust the fancy the way that you guys are saying. I just, like I've said in the past, I'll say it again. There's no way I let Andrew Berry. Look, here, you said it in the 2020 update. We gave our kicker a week off because we signed him to a dumb contract and can't just cut him because of salary cap reasons. That, to me alone, is a fireable offense.
Hey, Jim, you have a degree in business?
Multiple.
I thought so. I could tell. All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
That and boozing.
That and what?
Well, boozing.
Oh, boozing.
Yeah, which, you know. Tune into the post-game show. You'll find out. Jim, thanks, buddy.
Bye, Jim.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, Jim was dropping some business stuff there. Thought that. Bill Callahan is the reason that everything has gone south for the Browns this year, right, Andy? Isn't that what we've heard?
That's what people think. I think it's true. But
well, he's helping his kid talk to the media. Proof next on Baskin and Phelps.